Mini Babybel Light. Perfect for when you want to satisfy your cravings without compromising on taste. High in protein and 47% less fat than Mini Babybel Original, Mini Babybel Light is the ultimate snack to add to your new routine in 2023. Start your new year the right way with Mini Babybel Light.
Rather than stressing out about doing more cardio to lose fat, focus on trying to build more muscle and then focus on nutrition. And that's how you create long, lean, toned look.
Building muscle will make the scale go higher, but in reality, it's because muscle mass is heavier. So like, don't worry about it. The scale doesn't tell you if you're healthy or not.
Will you, I was gonna say slap me in the face, but slap me on the back. Just really hard.
Really? I don't want to hurt you.
Okay. I'm on my makeup.
Oh, slap yeah, you're me. Right. Not the makeup.
Slap me. Harder.
No.
I need a makeup. Go. Ah.
Did that hurt?
I'm ready.
A little weird.
Are you good?
Yeah, one more.
Ready?
Ha!
Oh, yeah.
She's like a big baby. Ooh, that needs to
I don't
be
know. I don't. Jordan's always like.
I had Pat burp me the other night.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Did you do the leg thing?
Because.
No. Did you do that?
That's tooting. Oh. But I know exactly with babies when you move the leg back
yeah,
and forth
to get
them to toot. I should have him try that.
You should have
time.
Him try. That'd be hilarious.
No, but I had finished dinner and then I chugged this hot chocolate with whipped cream because it sounded so good.
I'm that sounds bomb.
And I drank it in probably 10 seconds. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I might puke.
Wait, why? Because you drank it so fast?
I had dinner and then I had this hot chocolate after and it was just too fast. So I go, Pat, will you burp me? And I was like, just strategically telling him how to burp me. I was like, make a fist. And it was
hit me hard in the back. Wait. When
have you ever had Jordan burp you?
No, but my sister and I burp each other all the time when we're being awkward. Like in front of, if we're in the store or something, I'll go, Taylor, hit me. And then so hit me in the back. I don't know why we do that. Don't ask why we do that, but we've done it for a really long time. Taylor, I'm sorry for outing us. Sorry about that, Taylor. Let me see.
Don't smell.
Oh, God, you hit me in the eye.
I'm so sorry.
I was just going for your armpit and you hit me in the eye. How rude.
I didn't want you to smell my armpit because
I want to see, is it bad?
You guys, I've been in these clothes since 4 a.m.
Can I tell you something? This is embarrassing, okay?
Let's hear it.
Well, this is kind of a straight cannon moment, but we'll roll with it.
Yeah.
I didn't like the idea and I was going a little wacky and I was like, oh God, spraying aluminum in your armpit just doesn't sit well with me. You know
spraying
what I mean?
Spraying aluminum.
Okay. You'll get what I say. Spraying aluminum in your armpit is deodorant. Antiperspirant is aluminum. If you look on the back of your deodorant, it's 20% at least aluminum. Okay?
Oh, I don't wear deodorant.
You don't?
No, it's so bad.
But it's so bad for you or it's so
no,
bad?
I just...
Your BO.
The thing is I don't think I have BO.
Okay.
But you could smell it now because I think not only was I wearing this since 4 a.m., but I don't think I washed it last time. So there might be a little stench.
Oh.
But I really don't think I smell that bad when I sweat. But then again,
it depends
I'm
on the
smelling
day
for myself,
me.
So I don't know.
It depends on the day.
I don't wear deodorant anymore.
Well, I tried to do natural deodorant is what I'm getting to.
Okay.
And I was laying in bed after a longer day and I just kind of had my arms up. I was just relaxing. And Jordan came over to cuddle and he nudged his head into my side, right? And he goes, oh, babe. Oh. And I go, what? And he goes,
oh, no.
What are you using for deodorant? And I was like, no, come on. And he's like, you need to go put some regular deodorant on.
No.
He's like, you're using natural again, aren't you? I'm like, shit. I'm like, what? You don't, come on. I'm trying to be better.
Is it weird though that I would rather have someone with I would rather Pat lift off his arm and it be a little sweaty, stinky with natural scent than have those chunky white deodorant chunks in it?
Okay. But is it you that is very bothered by deodorant chunks? Is that you? Someone told me that that's the grossest thing they've ever seen.
I've never said it out loud, but I think that's nasty. Yeah, I'd much rather have a natural stench.
Maybe that was a TikTok. He's a 10, but he has deodorant chunks in his armpit. That was that was a TikTok or something. I don't know why I'm remembering that.
No, I would much rather just have your natural stench, and then maybe you can spray cologne on. I love cologne. Don't
I do
be
too,
wrong.
But
I don't think you need to put that shit in your armpits. I don't know.
See,
this is
I don't
weird.
Know. Is that weird? I don't know. But guess what? I will tell you. I tried another kind. Straight up just a burning flaming hot rash hives in my armpits and I was like okay I'm gonna go back to Dove for a little while and then I'll wean off of it, hopefully.
When I have deodorant and I really want to wear it, I just have the Old Spice shit from the dudes, which is probably even worse and gonna cause me breast cancer.
No, they're all bad. They're all horrible. Yeah. I just don't feel good about it.
I need like not only deodorant but like antiperspirant because even with the antiperspirant, it's just like waterfalls underneath my arms. Like,
yeah, you know they have Botox shots for your armpits.
I have heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really like thought about getting Botox shots.
Well, hey, I'm just saying there's options out there, right? And we've got options for you, okay?
You know
as
what?
A friend.
Y'all just, yeah.
Just
let
do
us
your
sweat.
Thing.
Do your thing.
Let your sweat hang low. We'll let it wobble to the flow. What does that say? Spray on deodorant. Yep, that's what we're talking about. Anywho, hi, everybody. How we doing up in here? Feeling a lot better this week. You good? You need to be burped? Oh, my God. Was that real? I just burped her.
I all of a sudden thought I was going to throw up.
Are you? I just burped you.
Yeah, that was really fun.
I'm ready
for
motherhood. Yeah.
I had a dream that
pregnancy
I was I had a dream that I was pregnant with twins, and I haven't even thought about having kids. And in my dream, I thought I had a miscarriage.
Oh my God. I remember
feeling my stomach and hearing a heartbeat and feeling a heartbeat. And then I was like really happy and I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I have twins. And then I was like, oh wait,
you're like, that wasn't
was
real.
Like, oh my God.
I've had some scary dreams about having kids, like weird ones where I'm like, my dad's like, you forgot to feed them. And they were like sitting at the counter and I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't even know I had kids. What are you talking about? And like, it's like a twisted dream. And I'm like, I'm going to be the worst mother. Like fear of motherhood or something.
I have that feeling too. And plant. Oof. Daddy just brought home plants. Real plants. My first real plants I've ever owned because I always buy fake plants. And I'm like, you know you're going to have to water those.
Yeah.
I can't even keep plants alive.
I can barely keep a plant alive. I literally have one that I can keep alive. So far, the other two died. Anywho, love to see it. Hi, everybody.
Love to see it.
I'm feeling a lot better this week. I feel more alive. I feel more a thrive. I feel more to dive. Yeah.
Yep. I will say you look bomb today.
Oh my God, thank you. I did my makeup today. I know, flinging my hand back.
What'd you do? Give us like the little deets. Like, what'd you do for the makeup routine?
I don't want to tell you. Okay, I will. I do a little bit of like a liquid foundation on my face. Okay. And then I always
use primer. Like, I want details.
No, I don't know how to. I don't know how to bake or prime. I don't know what.
Bake?
Oh, primer. No, I don't really use that, but I have some.
Okay.
People bake. They put, like, it's like a powder thing. I thought that's what you're talking about.
Setting
this is
powder.
How much I know about makeup. Okay. Anywho, I do a liquid foundation, and then I did a little contour. I use the Fenty stick in Mocha. Do that on my cheeks, you know, all the things, and on my forehead. And then I do a little Charlotte Tilbury highlighter under my, like, on my cheeks, under my eye, above my lip. Yeah. I usually use the Tarte natural eyeshadow. I do a little white. This is the thing I don't always do. A little white eyeliner under my eye.
I've never, yeah.
See, under my eyelid.
That's
so
what
like
I noticed right away. I was like, that looks good,
yeah,
girl.
Thank you, yeah. And then I do just a little like, eyeliner on top. What?
Just like
cat.
No, hold
no,
on.
No, what? What?
The white eyeliner. Do you know what I'm going to say? At the bodybuilding show when that one dude put white eyeliner under
his eyes. What are you talking about?
What? I don't know. There was this, when we went to the bodybuilding show, this one dude was up on stage, like really, really tan, but he put white eyeliner underneath his eyes. It was
to make his eyes look bigger.
It was the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, wow. What a look. Anyway, that's what I did today. And then I straightened my hair. Hi,
you look
how are you?
Bomb.
Thank you,
sugar. Bomb.com.
You look good, though, with your little barrettes in your hair.
It's because it's greasy as fuck.
Well, it looks good.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, so you talked a little straight hand moment with your little deodorant, but you got anything else for me?
This one relates. Honestly, no, I'll tell you later, actually. Never mind. I'll wait.
Do you have a straight hand moment?
Well, that was kind of my straight hand moment. Okay, yeah, the other one I had, it's kind of dumb, but I don't really like it. Are you reading my notes right there?
Yeah, I need to ask. It literally says condom wrapper trash. I'm just hoping
Jordan isn't going to listen to this. Okay, we'll go really fast. He cleaned out it. Okay. Okay. We had people over and a lot of the times my girlfriends will come up to like my bathroom, which is also Jordan's bathroom upstairs. Okay, cool. So they came upstairs and like there was a skid mark in the toilet. That was like flag number one. Flag number two was they threw something away in the trash bin. And my friend kind of like looked at me weird and then like was like made like eyes. And she's like, she went and sat out in like my bedroom area. And I was like, okay, that was weird. And so I went to go like throw something away. I had something to throw away in the trash in the bathroom. There was like, no joke, 100 condom wrappers in there. Like one, like no, in all seriousness, Jordan had thrown away all the like ones that he had in a drawer that were like tucked in a corner
expired.
In like a box. Yeah, and like old, I don't know where they came from. They're not 100, I'm exaggerating. But she like looked in the trash and it looks probably like we used them all. And she was like, oh my God. She's oh like, God. Like, geez. And I was like, okay. I'm like, so anyway, you want to go back downstairs?
That's funny.
Want to go watch the Kardashians?
She's like, wait, I'm more concerned about not any times you had sex today, but the fact that you're using condoms.
No, I know. Scary.
<Just kidding. gasps>
No, I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
Use them when you feel like it's safe. Use them with you, you know,
Practice safe sex, y'all. Practice safe sex.
Wait, do you have a streaking moment?
Yeah, I do. Okay, so speaking of sexual intercourse.
Oh, I really hope Jordan didn't hear that. Oh, God.
Plant Daddy's back in action. We going at it. Yeah, it feels good.
Okay, good.
Because, yeah, he had no sex drive for a bit. So now it's quite fun because when we start kissing, like, we just can't stop now. It's like, so we, like, don't kiss all day because we know it'll lead to sex.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah. So we wait to kiss until nighttime because it'll probably end up being a
little bunny rabbit
action. But no, my actual straight kid moment was actually right before I got here. So I just realized I bought the phone with, I think it's 265 gigabytes.
Yes.
I'm out of space. So that's
what do you mean?
Like I literally,
how many videos do you have on your phone?
Oh gosh. Like this is why like straight candy. When we
oh
take
my God, that picture of you two is so
when
cute.
We take an episode or when we record an episode,
take an episode
and we take photos. I have like 20, I take like 20 photos, right? Before.
How many photos do you have? Okay.
Where do
get
I
out.
Go?
You just got to go one more out. Just swipe one more over. Yep. You got it. Just 14,000.
Just 15,000.
Weird. I think I have double that. I'm
really?
Not gonna lie, and mine's not full.
Y'all are like, you guys are crazy.
We're wild, dude. How many videos do you have?
Ben,
go scroll down, will
you?
So,
ya? Ben, I need you to help me. I don't know what to do.
Oh, wow, your phone is literally glitching. Oh, you have a lot of videos. Yeah, no fucking wonder.
Can I just delete them all?
No, you can't delete them all. What? You have over 2,000 videos, almost 3,000 videos.
That'll
oh,
do.
My God, you almost three. You freak. No wonder. Get rid of your videos, dog. No, there's so many duplicates in there. It scares me. Get rid of them.
It could be your iMessages too.
No, I have those delete.
Oh, really?
I have them delete after a year now, apparently. It's kind of like a control thing that I don't want to think about though. Cause I'm like, what if I need that? Like whose messages am I going to actually go look for?
It actually happens a lot to me. Cause mine delete every like, I think
30 days is one of them.
30 days. And then I can't find it. Yeah. Okay. Let's get on to the topic of the episode.
Wait, Ben, did you have a straight candy moment that you were prepped for?
I can, but I want to save it for next week.
Okay, actually. Bye.
Yeah, yep.
Love okay, it. Bye. We'll be over here. You guys, we're talking about fitness.
Woo!
Fitness is my witness. All the things, health trends, our fitness habits, what we know. Why are you laughing?
Because I just have an Instagram account called Your Fitness Witness.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember I followed it.
And
I thought you were so awesome.
I would go to all the studios in Minneapolis and I would rate the workouts.
What would happen if you rated them poorly?
And I would witness the fitness. I was honest. I was like, not worth a membership.
Wait, did anyone message you about it after?
I was like, Basecamp Fitness, cool for a day, cool for a little quick workout, but not worth a membership.
Oh my God. There's like beef going on right here.
No, they just literally message me every day. And I've literally gone to Basecamp so many times. They're like, we want a free class. I'm like, I've been 12 times.
Yeah, I have been. I liked it.
Yeah. No,
anyway,
it was great. But
you guys, life as a fitness coach is something that we haven't really talked about. Like, both Soph and I teach fitness. Soph is also a trainer. And we've never really dove into it. We've also never debunked a ton of like the current fitness trends and things that people are obsessed with right now and just kind of like misnomers about health and wellness. And we realize we're like, oh my God, we literally know that like the back of our hand and we haven't even like sat down and talked about it. Why would we not do that? And we'll also answer obviously a ton of questions that people wrote in about like, is this true or does this happen or, you know, yada, yada, yada. Stick around because it's going to be good.
And this is obviously coming from our experience.
Yes.
Like we are not doctors. We are not registered dietitians. Then the content that we provide should not be taken for medical advice. It is not intended to replace the advice of a physician. Also, please just make sure if you know, want to switch anything up, consult your doctor beforehand. And also if you deal with an eating disorder, I'm not sure what exactly is going to come up today.
Yeah.
We'll find out. But if there might be calorie counts, there might be
macro
speak
counting.
Of food, you know, so just make sure you listen with a mindful ear. If that's something you are not trying to listen to, just know maybe this isn't the podcast today.
It isn't the podcast for you. Anywho.
Sid, so you're a fitness trainer.
Yeah, I am.
Give us the deets. When did you become a fitness trainer and what do you do?
Well, I started getting into fitness probably, by myself, probably high school. But I played hockey and lacrosse. So then I went into college after I was done playing lacrosse. I started going to Alter in Minneapolis, and then I wanted to get the membership for free because I couldn't afford it. So I started working the front desk there. And then I realized, I was like, shit, on my bucket list is leading a crew in fitness. Like, why don't I try to work here? And Sophie already worked there. Hi, little Sophie. And so I started training there, became a trainer there. I was a trainer there for like probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I can't remember how long that was. I guess I don't know. Loved it. And then I took a corporate role at Lifetime Fitness. So I had to switch over to Lifetime full time for my fitness role too. I teach, it's called GTX, and it's basically like, I hate to say it, it's kind of like a Barry's, but probably not as structured maybe, because it's structured from a Lifetime perspective, but basically it's treadmill work and floor work with weights. We kind of teach a similar workout kind of way. I mean, I have zone days. You get to write and be completely creative, which is really lucky. That's how I got into it. I like it. I don't do it for money. I literally just do it because I like to lead a group and make people feel good. But anyway, that's my like little like startup spiel.
Why you like are passionate about it. Cool.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
But can you relate to this? I'll be teaching. Yeah. Well, I guess I'm in an open area, but like when you're teaching and you're like telling somebody how to do something and you look over and someone is literally going to break their back doing like a bent over row or like a deadlift. And you're like, oh my God, I'm like, stick your ass out. And they're like, stick your ass out. I'm literally going to come poke your butt if you don't stick your butt out more, because you're literally like, look like you're keeling over, like you're going to hurt yourself.
It's so funny you say
that. Oh my God.
Because I just made a reel today and let me show you it really quick.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. So it's a fitness coach like showing someone how to do a deadlift, and the person reciprocating it is like following exactly as the coach is saying, and then the coach walks away and they finish the deadlift. So I think I made one that's very similar to this. Let me show you, Sid, because you're gonna get a kick out of it.
Wait, when teaching a beginner how to properly deadlift.
Wait, I gotta have the sound on, it won't make sense. Sorry if you're listening, but I have to show her this.
Okay, let me see.
Je
ma
ma
pel
pel.
Great. Okay, faster.
Je
ma
ma
pel
pel.
Je m'appelle.
Mes poupous.
Maybe woo, and he bends over, breaks his back. Oh my God.
That's
funny.
That's what's hard about group fitness. I love coaching group fitness because like you said, it's like you're leading a class. The thing is it's so hard to, you know, pay attention to each individual as much as they need. So like as a fitness coach, I think it's really fun to like lead the group. But then at the same time, it's fun to like spit the cues out for the whole class. But really, you're looking at one person to see if the cue you said fixed their form.
Yeah.
But it's so hard because then you're already moving to the next move or helping someone else. That's why it's hard. I think group fitness is for people that already have their form down. And once you have your form down, you just need a little motivation. Then absolutely do group fitness. But if you want to work on like form and you've never lifted dumbbells before, you've never done a Romanian deadlift, go to a personal trainer first and then go to group fitness.
A reverse deadlift?
A reverse deadlift, yeah.
I can't stop saying it too. Like, well, it'll be say RDL, and I'm like reverse deadlift. I'm like, no, it's just a Romanian. Never mind, ignore me. But that's a really good point. Yeah, it's definitely for the people who kind of know what they're doing, at least a little bit. At least pick something up. What's your passion? Oh, well, wait, how did you start? Sorry,
that's okay. So I coach at Barry's right now. I'm also just an online personal trainer. So I have clients that I just write workout programs for and I do macro coaching for. And then I also just coach group fitness at Barry's.
You do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It's a lot. If I'm a little brain dead this episode, it is because I've coached 4 classes.
Today.
My voice hurts. I've been up since 4 a.m. So if someone else wants to leave a review that I'm a dumb,
the best
that I'm a dumb blonde, I will come and find you and say, how about you talk for 40 hours straight and then try to record a podcast. Okay.
But your greasy little head of hair looks wonderful.
Fuck up. Okay.
Oh my.
Do you have a funny story from a class? Cause I have a few that just happens like on the regular.
Yes.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Well, for one thing, this one was me the other day. Okay. It's the first one I thought of right away, but I have a few from coaching. Now they're all coming back to me. Well, one time I did a kettlebell swing in front of everybody and I was like, don't hit your jewels. You know what I mean? Like vagina. And I whacked my vagina bone. And I had to set the bell down and like take a breath because I literally like went back and I like came up because I was going to stop. And I think I got distracted and it was earlier on. Oh my God. It was one of the worst pains I've ever felt in front of everyone. So you're like, do that.
And that's not
this
what
is
you
not
do.
Likely to happen. Oh God. You know, the other one was, it was Pride and I was wearing this cute little like outfit that was colorful and I wore like really light pants.
Oh, I was at that class.
Oh yeah, you came. Oh, I'm so dumb. Well, did you notice that I was wearing purple, light purple pants?
Yeah, and you could see your butt crack.
I could see my butt crack. Not only that, I had my period, and I found that out when I got home.
I'll let you know that I did.
Yeah,
I didn't notice it though.
I won't lie, wearing those scrunched butt, bright purple pants, and getting your period, it's about like, look at me more than any I've ever like had my pants. You know what I mean? Like, think about it. You wear black pants. Okay. Some people are going to look at your butt, whatever. Girls, when you're wearing bright scrunched butt pants.
Girls are like, you have such a big booty. And it's like, no, they literally shove it up your asshole and then walk around. It looks like your butt's 10 times bigger.
The butt's 10 times bigger. Yeah. And the lady should have worn a tampon. Yeah. That's me. Hi, how are you? Yeah. Anyway, how about you? God.
Do you ever crop dust when you coach?
Yes.
I do it all the time. I fart specifically by a big sweaty dude and then I walk away.
No, that's bad. That is bad. Sophie.
I come home and I always tell Plant Daddy, I'm like, I crop dusted 3 people today.
You are horrible. Oh my God. If that doesn't take you to hell, God damn it, I don't know what will.
Too funny, but like, what do you do? Like, I'm coaching for 3 hours. I gotta let her go.
Of course you're going to toot all day.
That like Barry's relate page that you were putting on your story.
Oh yeah.
She's a 10, but she crop dusted you while she's coaching.
I should send that in.
Oh my God. Oh my word.
It's also really funny because I love when people bring their dates to classes.
Oh yeah. And that's so fun.
Barry's is such a place where it's like, oh yeah, come work out with like these like cool people. Like it's just a vibe. So, and it's funny when girls bring dudes because it's, Barry's can be as easy or hard as you make it. So it is also tread work and floor work. I think it's a little more focused on strength training because you focus on certain muscle groups on the floor. But then on the tread, what happens is you can go as hard as you want. You can also walk. Like, there's so many options. But when first timers come in, they literally think they have to go so hard. And it's
so hard.
Even better when a girl brings a guy in for a date. And this has happened to me, I would say, like, if I coach 3 classes in a day, there's probably one class where a girl brings in like a little guy with her.
He's kind of little.
But there was this one class and I say it numerous times. I'm like, just make sure you pace yourself. Like, we still have 10 minutes, you know? And this guy's just going so hard.
He's got to show off. He's got to look good in front of his girl.
Thinking he's so cool. And I'm like, oh, he's gonna burn out. And then he's looking unwell most of the class. Like, by the end of the class, he's struggling to even like stand up. And I'm not saying Barry's is this hard. Like, I don't want anyone to be like, oh my God, I'd never go. It's because he was literally trying so hard.
You push yourself too hard. Yeah. That's going
to
happen.
And then when class ends, he comes up to me and like really nonchalantly, he won't make eye contact with me. And he goes, by the way, I puked in the corner over there. And I was like,
oh wow.
Thanks for letting me know. And I was like, just, you know, like, you can come back, but like, just pull back a little bit. Like, you don't have to go balls to the wall.
Oh my God.
And he never came back. It's so sad.
Really? He didn't? After puking in a mirrored room.
But for first timers, like, I definitely make sure I'm like, walking's an option. Take your speed down. Like, it is a very, anyone can do the workout. But anyways, I just had to share that story.
I will say there's random stories of like, one time, well, God, people leave their weights out, right? When you're doing the workout. And I'll be like, all right, everybody, 3, 2. And I took a step back and I went all the way back, landed on my mic. My mic broke.
Oh gosh.
And I fucking nailed the bottom half of my spine. And I was like, I'm on the ground. I'm like, let's take a second
and rest.
Everybody walk. I need to walk it off. I was so embarrassed, you guys.
Speaking of microphones, so I also wear a microphone when I coach. And a lot of times I'll open the doors. People will come in. I'll go into the lobby.
I'll chat
with the front desk and turn my mic off to be like, who are our first timers? Where are our first timers? Make sure I can go up, tell them they're comfortable. Sometimes I let people in and I'm like, I'm going to have to pee mid-class. So I quick run to the bathroom, turn my microphone off, whatever, go.
I have heard this.
I'm so excited. I think I've told this
before. No, you got to tell it again. It's so good.
I left my mic on one time and I was like, I'm going to quick take a little duker. So I run into the bathroom.
A what?
I don't know. It just sounded like a poop. So I run into the bathroom and I forget it to turn my microphone off.
Oh my God.
I'm quick plopping. We're good. Like,
I'm quick plopping.
Really?
Doof.
Really, really duker. Really, really fast. It was a record speed. And I'm like, ooh, that was fast. I'm kind of proud of myself. I'm hearing the music. I start singing. It was like, it's me and you now. I've waited. I think I want to make a move. And not only was I singing, I was trying because I was in the bathroom by
myself.
Baby,
tell me if you.
Yeah. Flush the toilet, wash my hands. Hey, Bob. What's up, Bob? It's me and you. I go back into the room and everyone's just looking at me. I'm like, my mic was on, wasn't it? They're like, yeah. I'm like,
as you were in the bathroom. Right. Let's do. What if you were in the bathroom and you're like, you know, like kind of like had to do a little, you know, you just don't mean to. It's subconscious, but.
Man, this one just won't come out.
Fucking A. Go.
I got to hurt. Or, well, okay, this is really exposing me. Every morning I have to use the restroom like clockwork. And, you know, class is early.
That's why I wake up at 4 a.m. when I have to leave at 4:45 because I have to drink my coffee and I have to leave time to take my poop because I don't have to poop during class.
I started class late because I had to use the restroom.
There's no going back. Like, yeah. You have to.
Yeah, it's a thing. Anyway, those are my fun stories to encapsulate that.
That is life as a fitness coach. We crop dust and that is that.
If you are even interested remotely in getting into like coaching and doing things like that, my biggest advice would be to actually get into classes, become a regular somewhere that you're like really passionate about wanting to coach at. Make sure you're getting to know the coaches, going to different classes, getting to know management, and then kind of choose someone to maybe like mentor you or to go out and grab coffee and ask questions to. By this point, that would be very comfortable. And then look into NASM and what's the other one? ACE. Yeah, I was like, why can't I think of it?
I was just going to say like some places don't require you to be NASM certified or ACE certified, which is an option too. Like you could, maybe you're more interested in yoga and you want to do the yoga certification. Mm-hmm. A tip for that is like, so my boyfriend Patrick, why'd I say Patrick?
Oh my God. Yeah.
My boyfriend Pat, Plant Daddy, Patrick. He got his NASM and all he did, I felt like he did it in a blink of an eye and I'm like so confused. He would just wake up an hour earlier every day and he would spend 45 minutes doing it. And he finished it in like, it was just, I just don't get like
the discipline of some people. I tell you.
I know.
Holy
I'm like,
crap.
Holy crap.
I haven't been disciplined in a little while.
Well, it's also because like he has his like, you know, 9 to 5 and that's what he's doing on the side. But like you're also doing a 9 to 5 and also doing a lot of things on the side. So, but that's just like a little tip. If you're interested in something, whether it be certifications in fitness, nutrition, like spend an hour in the morning, wake up a little earlier and get her done.
Good point. Because we're talking about so many fitness trends, health trends and all the things, I wanted to level set really quick and just like say fitness or excuse me, health in general also means like setting time to think and be thankful, eating like 80% and then like having a little balance, right? And we'll talk about that later, but like stretching and having alone time, like feeling good about what you're doing. And like, for me, I like to write out my week at a glance on a note sheet, and just write out my like things that I'm kind of excited about and the bigger things, just so I feel good and I know what's coming. And then the week doesn't become so like, encapsulating in my brain and it's an obsession and I'm nervous about it or anxious about it. So know that health is a lot more than what the things we're talking about, but today is going to mostly be talked about fitness in general. So just wanted to say that.
Yeah. Very good point.
Do you have a random, just cause I remember people writing this in, favorite like healthy snack, your like go-to snack?
Oh,
I know, I have a lot. So I'm like,
I feel like we'll get there when we go to the meal.
You think so?
Yeah. When we get to like what we eat in a day. And
I mean, I do. Yeah, we do have that question.
I will
question.
Say
I just focus.
I used to, do I go into my whole history? No, we have so much to talk about today. But like I used to restrict, right? Mm-hmm. And then I wouldn't allow myself certain foods and it was crazy obsession. Then I went binge cycle, restricting, binging, back and forth. It was a bullshit. You're obsessed about food. All you think about is food. And then I found balance again. And now like, I genuinely now am no longer obsessed with food because I know I'm eating enough and like I feel always content and satisfied. Mm-hmm. So like my snacks, I do sometimes like to like eat because it makes me feel good. So like protein, I love eating a lot of protein because I know it makes me feel good. I love eating vegetables. And then I also, I fucking love chocolate. I have chocolate after every goddamn meal.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. Yeah. Well, I was going to say it. If I had to pick, like, I like a meat and cheese board, like a mini charcuterie board.
Yummy.
Add a little fruit in there. Like, healthy snack doesn't mean, like, it has to be, like, the lowest calorie, lowest fat you've ever seen in your life. Like, healthy snack just means, I think, like, trying to have whole foods. Like, right? Like,
I was just going to say that processed low-carb, low-fat if you ever have bloating and bad guts, it's causing gut issues.
Bad for you. Like, even I want to flag this in the beginning, low fat yogurts, like different things that people start the day with that are like zero fat, zero sugar. It's like, actually you need your omega-3s in the morning. That's how your brain gets going. It needs healthy fats like avocados and whole fat yogurt and stuff like that. So just beware of it. Remember, we're talking about food generally from our perspective, but yeah, something to think about. Okay, let's talk about trends, shall we?
Wellness trends that need to end.
Oh, this girl.
I'm going to start with my biggest pet peeve that I hear a lot on influencers, on Instagram. And it's particularly, you'll be able to visualize this exact woman when I say this. She does Pilates and barre because it is low impact and she can pulse. And it creates long and lean muscles. And she doesn't want to lift heavy weight. She doesn't want to deadlift at the gym because low impact. It just feels good. And I'm getting those long, lean muscles.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, exactly. Okay. I know who you're talking about.
So this is just the misconception about being toned and creating those long, lean muscles by people who are only doing Pilates because they think that will give them long, lean muscles and only doing barre. I also want to flag, if you like Pilates and you like barre, not a problem. At the end of the day, your workout, whatever gets you to move your body, if that's what you enjoy, absolutely do it. But this is coming from a background from my history, what I've learned in NASM certifications, what I do with my clients, and generally evidence. So
yeah.
Toning simply means losing fat and gaining muscle, or losing fat and being able to see existing muscle underneath. So exercise is actually a very small and insignificant contributor to fat loss. Exercise does play a part in gaining muscle, obviously, which is why I recommend strength training and like progressive overloading. So that's why when you exercise, it is so important to focus on building muscle, because fat loss doesn't actually always come from exercise. And in fact, if you associate exercise with fat loss, all you're doing is creating this negative cycle in your head. The more you exercise, the more fat loss you're going to have happen.
The less I eat, the more fat loss I'll have, which it messes up your metabolism. It's not a good way to go. Sometimes I do barre like once every 2 weeks, probably.
It feels good to switch it up. Absolutely. Yeah,
it's good. Like, it makes my body feel like, okay, muscles are being moved that I don't usually spend like a lot of time on, like different things when
deep core work sometimes.
Or if like
good.
After I did like the Tough Mudder, ran really hard. Like I went to Seoul at Lifetime. Like I usually will mix in a yoga week more for my mental happiness and more for like a quiet time for me. So know that like long lean muscles actually comes from lifting, and you know, like it's we'll get into it. I know I'm like, we'll get into it.
Think of like bodybuilder girls, like when they walk about on stage, like they look pretty long and lean. I'm not gonna lie, and it's because I mean, those girls are lifting heavy ass weights, but it is because they're working on their nutrition. They are probably in a little bit of a calorie deficit while they were maintaining their muscle. So rather than stressing out about, you know, doing more cardio to lose fat, focus on trying to build more muscle and then focus on nutrition. And that's how you create long, lean, toned look.
Building muscle will make the scale go higher, but in reality, it's because muscle mass is heavier.
Yeah, and not always.
So not always, it won't make the weight go up. I'm just saying if you're building muscle, you're going to weigh more before you weigh less.
So don't even
like, don't worry about it. It's not something that's going to tell you like I'm healthy. Like the scale doesn't tell you if you're healthy or not.
I also think it's so funny when people are like, oh, well, if I do, like, let's say you have fat on your midsection, which we all do, okay? Yep. Red flag.
We're women, if you're a woman, and men, everybody has it.
People think, okay, I'll do crunches because my fat will turn into muscle, but your fat doesn't turn into muscle. Your muscle's underneath your fat, so how about, like, you can't spot reduce number one, but you also don't, your fat doesn't directly turn into muscle.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. And longevity, like, weight training is, like, the longest, okay, how do I say this? You can do it for the longest amount of time. Like
so good
treadmill running is not sustainable. There's a lot of workouts that are not sustainable. HIIT even is not sustainable long-term, right? It changes our metabolism. It makes the body work in different ways. I'm not saying it's bad for you. I teach HIIT, right? I do HIIT sometimes, but it's about the amount that you're doing it, not necessarily the only. Like that bothers me when people are like, I only do this. I only do this. It's like, that's actually not healthy. Like even if you're only lifting, you're splitting your days, which means that you're doing like upper body, lower body, or like buys and tries or quads and ass. You know what I mean? So
we're going to say something, Ben.
Sorry, Ben.
Yeah. I was just going to bring up because, and you might be going into this, but this is like the part. So
I love when you jump in. So
yeah.
Well, you didn't mention this, but like you're coaching me. Yeah. And like I've already lost like 10 pounds at this point from when we started. So like anybody.
You've been cutting down your cardio, haven't you?
Yes. Yep. I like used to run like 3 or 4 times a week. And now I run like once or twice maybe. And it's more like I run for my anxiety. And that's kind of where I was going. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because you were telling me like running actually, if anything, it's going to mess up your metabolism. Like, don't associate running with like burning fat or like burning. It's really more about what you eat. And that was mind blowing for me because I had always grown up thinking if I run more, I lose more weight. And that's not necessarily the case.
I was looking at your pictures last night with me and Pat. We're like, oh, dang, get it, boy.
Get it, boy. Well, it's also about heart rate zones. And I'm not going to go too deep into this, but different zones, depending on the person, burn different amounts of calories and fats, right? So let's say I'm like a hard, intense runner. I'm going to need to be in a zone 4 to burn fat, but I'm already my metabolism is already like pushing. So like I can only burn when I'm going the absolute hardest. That means I'm going to burn different types like calories on the way up. Like it's just not sustainable. Right. So like if you're weightlifting, your heart rate's going to get higher in like a zone 1 and you get that consistency. You're going to burn fat within that zone 1 of weightlifting versus a zone 4, which means that you're like sprinting it out on your heart.
I see.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to explain when you're like not looking at the numbers, but
I love weightlifting in my head, because for women too, it helps with obviously as we get older, our bone density gets lower and it helps with fat. And I always see future MILF or like training to be a future MILF. And
oh,
like,
I love that.
Because you're keeping your metabolism healthy rather than restricting and doing cardio when you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
It's kind of setting you up to gain weight when you have babies. Like you're pretty much doing the opposite of what you want to do for longevity. So,
yep.
Just saying.
Just quite saying. Mic drop.
Next myth.
Next myth is eating healthy is always expensive. That's wrong. Have you ever thought of other things to eat? Okay, go ahead.
I just have a few notes down for this one. So get in the habit of meal planning and be strategic about it. I think that's very helpful and something I actually really do need to work on because this is what happened to me today. I woke up from my nap. I was 10 minutes sleeping away. I wake up. The first thing on my Instagram was teriyaki chicken thighs. I'm like, I'm gonna go make those. So I run downstairs and I buy chicken thighs and I buy some ingredients, go upstairs and I make it because literally Lunds and Byerly's is right below me.
So annoying. And I'm like, God, you're annoying. I'm so hungry. So I want a gourmet meal. I'm gonna walk downstairs.
I know it was.
I'm like,
Pat actually does a really good job. You guys have seen, he literally buys like a certain amount of tofu, a certain amount of tempeh a week, and he makes the same meals. And like, he probably spends like, I don't know, I'm making this number up, but $30 a week.
That's impressive.
Yeah, for all of his meals. Okay, he spends like, what, $30 on his tempeh?
Yeah.
But still, like, big batch of rice, big batch of his protein. Just get more a little strategic about it, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, like, think of all the things, but, like, frozen foods aren't necessarily always bad. Like, you can get frozen veggies, too. Like, it's not about it being frozen. It's about the brand that you're choosing, right? Like, if it's, like, a Stouffer's microwave meal. Sorry, Stouffer's, I love you, but that's definitely my college self. Like just have balance too. If that's like your little like go-to meal on like a rainy night, you know, like a lasagna Stouffer's meal, like you can have one. You're not going to die from one. My God.
Well,
like,
frozen fruits and vegetables, they offer the exact same.
They're the same amount of nutrients.
Exact same nutrients as fresh and they'll stay longer. So that's always a good call. Seasonal vegetables, usually those are cheaper, buying generic versus name brand.
Yep.
And I think Sid will disagree with me on this one, but I only buy organic when it comes to Dirty Dozen. Organic.
Wait, why would I disagree?
Because I remember we were talking about organic chicken.
We were saying the same thing.
Oh, we were.
Yeah.
I was just saying you don't need to buy organic bananas, for example, because bananas have that thick peel on them. There's no way there's going to get pesticides in there. So
it's like, that's like food 101.
Dirty Dozen is like, just look it up on Google if you need help. So that's just a little
thing with the peel.
Eating healthy isn't always expensive.
Yeah.
Next trend says more sweat equals a better workout. We kind of already mentioned this, but not always true.
I would say I struggled with that though, because I was teaching so much HIIT and I was like, I always ran for sports and I was lean as hell. And my body changed once I stopped doing those workouts, but I was really unhealthy. Like, I mean, I was in a calorie deficit for like years, which is crazy. Like to think that I was eating not enough food to sustain my workouts for like years on end is just horrible. And even now, like coming into more like weightlifting, and I need to be better about it too. It's more the intimidation factor that I think keeps people away and has people go do HIIT that's more familiar. So just know that like you don't need to be soaking wet with sweat in order to say, oh, that was a really good workout. In fact, higher rest periods are going to change the type of workout you're doing, and they're just as good for you, if not better. So
love that.
Yeah.
Next one. Oh, sorry. Let me see if I'm on it. You have to be skinny to be healthy.
Obviously false.
Oh my God.
Y'all know that one.
Come on, people.
We could be having so many issues with your hormones. Metabolism.
Also, I forgot to say this. It lost my train of thought, but it's about being skinny. People being afraid of lifting weights because they're afraid of gaining muscle. Do you know how hard it is to bulk? Like how many thousands and thousands of added calories you have in order to get bulky and really like build these extraneous muscles. Mm-hmm. It's not even natural for women, and let alone some men, right? So it's like getting bulky is not going to happen. Like unless you're really working for it and overeating, right?
I'll tell you now, unless you're taking steroids, you'll be just fine.
Yeah.
Like we talked about
doesn't
it. Toning.
Not a
thing. We just talked about toning long lean muscles. You have to build muscle to get that. So
yep.
Next one says you shouldn't eat past a certain hour. And I think this is so interesting because I saw a few questions about this and our listeners too, like if I eat past 8 PM, am I going to gain weight? And there's actually not a lot of research to support time restricted eating, and eating within certain windows. I will say some people who do fasting, intermittent fasting, you might lose weight, but it's because your calories are lower than they were before. It has nothing to do with when you're eating. It has everything to do with you're probably in a bit of a calorie deficit because you didn't eat breakfast, for example, or you didn't eat dinner. But what I like to do is like I would rather be able to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, my snacks, and just make sure I'm within my maintenance calories and move on from there. I will say some people do benefit from intermittent fasting, maybe with your digestion, because you're like, my digestion's working all the time. Like I want to give my digestion a break. I sleep better. Sure, do it.
Yeah, I was going to say the reasoning behind that is that, like, let's say I ate from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Like, I added, like, 4-hour windows of eating. Like, you're just eating more, right? That's all it means. So that's why people say, like, oh, don't eat at past 6, right? It's like you're just adding 4 hours of eating time. If you're hungry, eat. Like, that's the bottom line
of it. And then they're like, oh, my God, 7:59. No. You start shoving food in your mouth. You're like, oh, and I'm like, you're in a surplus.
You're fine. Like, just, like, stop, you know? And the other thing I was going to say about that was that, oh, of course, I lose my freaking train of thought. Oh, not shoot. Overeating. Blah, 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 blah. I'll think about it. It'll
fasting.
Come back.
Okay. Sorry.
Where did it go?
All the time.
What happened to it? I haven't had that happen in a long time where it just goes away.
It happens to me every episode.
It floated so far away. I don't even know the word intermittent fasting anymore. It lost my memory.
That's how I feel like every episode.
Oh my God, I don't like this. Oh, I was just going to say. It came back. It helps with sleep if you're not eating late, usually, like depending on digestive issues, right? And different things like that. If your digestion is working, your body is like going to be warmer, right? And it's not as easy to sleep, et cetera, et cetera. It's like your body's working, blood flow to your stomach, and your brain is working because it's digesting food. It's really not something to flag.
It's
science.
Like a balance too, because if you're hungry, you ain't sleeping either.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Eating less and less will make you lose more and more weight.
Oh, my word.
We kind of talked about this a little bit.
Can I say my analogy first before you say it? Because this will exactly be
what
I always thought about, and I had to tell myself this when I struggled with like just eating not as enough, is think about when the cavemen were around, right? And they would eat not often at all. Their body would retain fat because it was worried about the next time it was going to eat, right? So they wouldn't eat for days on end. So the body would hold on to fat.
Every calorie.
Everything that it could hold on to, because it's like, oh my God, if you're not going to eat enough, like I need to work your brain. I need
you
to get up.
You're
going
to do this
like,
60-minute HIIT workout on top of not eating enough? Oh my God,
the same thing.
On.
It's the same thing. Your body's like, oh shit, you have a pattern of not eating enough. I better hold on to this fat that's sitting right on your tummy or under your arm or on your boob or wherever the heck it is, because I'm worried you're not going to eat again. That's just how it goes. Like
that's just the definition of like a metabolic adaptation. Like you're slowing down your metabolism. I have an analogy too about this.
Oh, I like
that. So if you've ever owned a car, you know that it's important to change the oil out every few months, right? Even if it seems like your car is running smoothly, without oil changes, it'll be slower and less efficient. This is also true for our metabolism. I was I liked that analogy. So what Sid was saying is like pretty much your metabolism is slowing down because you're not eating enough. So you kind of have to like condition your body to know it's going to get those calories.
Yeah.
So what happens when a lot of females or males are under eating for a period of time and you're restricting, maybe you have disordered eating, maybe it's a full-blown eating disorder, you're gonna have to continue to eat less and less and work out more and more to get the same results. And you might even start gaining weight because one, your cortisol levels, which is your stress hormones, are gonna go up.
Wacky
your
high.
Your body is like freaking out. And you come to a point where one, you'll hit a plateau. If you've ever dieted or done a calorie deficit, plateaus happen. But the people that continue to eat less and less and less, and now you're at 1,000 calories and you are not losing weight, that is a red flag when you need to go through a reverse diet. So just slowly bringing your metabolism back up incrementally. I don't want to go into the full
details of it. But still.
But that's like what I do with my clients is because I'm very passionate about making sure women feel like they eat enough. And when you're up to 2,500, 3,000 calories and you're feeling satisfied and full, you no longer think about binging, you no longer obsess about food, you feel like your hormones are balanced, you realize that you don't have to do all this exercise,
yep.
And then you can maybe go into a little bit of a deficit and you actually will start losing weight because you're eating maybe now 2,000 calories and you're like, oh, I'm going, my metabolism got healthy again, so.
Yep, restarting the metabolism. I just will say too of like, I just was thinking about snacks when people are like trying to cut back so much. Like people are eating like Quaker Oats air with a little bit of cheese spray on them. Like, you know what I mean? Like anybody
Quaker Oats?
Like think about, I love Quaker Oats and I put cream cheese on top. No. And I put like avocado on top or a little aioli with a little everything with the bagel seasoning. Delicious.
Oh, rice cakes.
Rice cakes. Sorry. Quaker Oats. Oops. Sorry. My bad.
I love oatmeal,
but it's like, think about what your body will need. Think about what is like a whole food, and a whole food meaning like, what if your body wants some fruit, right? Some antioxidants. What if your body wants a little fat? Have an avocado. Mm-hmm. Yum. Have something that's real, like, oh, like an aged cheddar. Ooh, yeah. Like have a little cracker and a little meat and cheese. Like
these are like all things Sid's craving right now.
I'm hungry.
What else do you want, Sid? Tell us.
Dude.
Sid is making me so hungry
I'm
right
so
now.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my God.
But think about what you're going to feel like when you eat strawberries versus a rice cake with nothing on top just to hold you over.
Also,
no brain power, no nutrients, nothing to help your gut health. Like, it's not going to give you protein, which your brain needs, your brain power, your entire body needs. So, like, make better choices on your healthy, quote unquote, healthy snacks. Mm. Healthy does not mean no fat, no sugar,
absolutely not.
Air in a bag.
LOL, the fact that literally a rice cake has the same amount of carbs as a piece of bread, but people think it's so healthy.
Okay, on to the next one.
I think there's one more.
We have a lot more. No, I do have a lot more. I added my ones that I was, that weren't already in there.
I'm done with mine.
Oh, okay. Going 1 to 2 times a week to work out will not make a difference. That's a freaking false on the false. Making one small change in your action and in your workout patterns will make a change. You will see results, even if it is one day to make yourself comfortable a week. And then maybe you start getting comfortable with that and then make a 2 and then make a 3. Wow. You know what I mean? Like moving forward with that. Some diets work and carbs are bad. Do you want to answer that one?
No, you go.
Oh, diets are not good for you, man. Diets, if it's dieting and it's cutting, it's not good for you. Or excuse me, not cutting. If it's dieting and it's cutting things out completely because you're obsessing over it, they're not good for you. Diet foods like diet Dr. Pepper, diet Coke, all those things. Like if it's got diet by it, it's likely not healthy, right?
I love diet Coke though.
I know, but you know what's in it. What's that stuff called again?
Aspartame. I don't know how to say it.
I don't know.
I would say, I mean, if you're eating nutrient dense food like 80% of the day and you want a goddamn Diet Coke without 60 grams of sugar, you can have a Diet Coke.
Yeah. The only thing is I learned a lot about diet foods lately and it's your body can't secrete that like that sugar. So it'll still crave the regular
insulin,
sugar the
your
entire
insulin
way.
Still.
Yeah.
Fires. Mm-hmm. I've heard that too.
Exactly. Which I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting to know. It doesn't mean you're not going to be healthy because you're drinking a Diet Coke. I'm just saying diet is not good for you. Dieting is not good for you, right? There's a difference between cutting and making dietary changes versus dieting in general. Do you disagree?
No.
No. Okay, cool. All right, on to the next. In order to burn fat, you need to sweat your ass off. Whoops, that was a repeat. Cardio builds muscle. We already kind of talked about that. Eating healthy and eating less are the same thing.
Oh, this is a myth. I was like, what?
You're like, what? No, these are all myths.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, you're like, oh, no. And you're like, that's not good. Dog.
We chatted about that.
These are where we go. Adding supplements and pills will help you with your health and wellness always. always is a scary word, right? Like, I would say that's definitely not an always. That's a maybe, right? Like, maybe you're low on your zinc levels, or you're low on like a vitamin D level or something of that sort, and you're taking a supplement for that. But supplements are not the solve for your current health and wellness patterns, right? So if you're somebody that's not really going to the gym, you're cutting corners, maybe you're eating a little less, you don't feel very good, you just add a supplement on top of your patterns, what you're already doing right now. That is not the right way
what
to do it.
What supplements would you recommend? Are you on any?
I am on, well, it's not a supplement, but it kind of is, I guess. Athletic Greens, obviously. Duh. You guys, I don't preach to the choir for many things, but I preach for that. That's all I have to say. And if you don't
Anything
believe
else?
Me, tell it to the judge.
You have protein powder.
I do have protein powder, SFH. You recommended that for me, and I've been totally hooked. And it's
I also really like Legion.
Oh, Legion's good too. Yes. Yeah, they're all good.
Use Candid Soul for 20% off.
Oh,
sorry, plug.
She had to do a little plug, didn't she? But no, seriously, like adding a pill or like a fat burning pill or like one of these, like you can't change your entire life and your entire pattern
have
from
you
a pill.
Have you taken a fat burning pill before?
No.
I did one time when I was in like my disorder thing.
Oh, it was horrible. I hate
Ew,
it.
What happens? All I remember is my face was like flushed and hot. And I didn't sleep. Like I must have some stimulant in it. Like
oh
it was
God.
Horrible. I also, another toxic thing I remember doing, I did Isagenix. Have you heard of that? It's like the
I've
shake
heard
replacements.
Of it, but I don't know what
Oh, girl, I did it all. And none of it worked until I just started eating more and then realizing food wasn't the enemy.
Food is not the enemy, you guys.
What toxic shit have you done? Anything?
I was just going to say I took those like green tea pills or whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It just made me sweat an extremely stupid amount. Like that's the only thing it did for me.
Yep. That sounds about right.
I take, so the supplements that I take the gummy bear. What are they called? The gummy vitamins for your hair. No, like the influencers.
I know the influencers stuff
that.
And you're like, oh boy.
No supplements. I think. Yes, they get a bad rap when you see all these people with like, I have this pre-workout, post-workout, I take this, I take that, I have to make sure I'm getting my magnesium. I will say there are certain supplements that can help individually for you. So like
individually,
So like definitely like pay attention, chat with your doctor. And I think some people do benefit from supplementing with a little bit of protein powder if it's something that settles well in your stomach, just because
I don't consider supplementing with protein powder though. Like I wouldn't consider it a supplement. I'm talking more like pill supplements.
I'm considering it a supplement. Okay. So protein powder, you can supplement with protein powder. Because I feel like a lot of people don't get enough protein powder in.
Yeah.
Also magnesium I've been taking recently because it's supposed to help with anxiety.
Anxiety, yep.
And sleep. I take that.
And ashwagandha root.
Ooh, I take that calm supplement, magnesium. Mm-hmm. I think vitamin D, usually people are low, helps with mood. And I've been obsessed ever since I listened to Andrew Huberman's podcast with fish oil, omega-3s.
Yes.
And I will say there's been studies done that people can swap their SSRIs with omega-3s if they take it in almost like an abundant amount.
Yeah.
So like I'm a little afraid to do that, but listen to Andrew Huberman's podcast about depression and he shares some really cool research studies about omega-3s and depression and anxiety. Yep. And that's been, I've honestly felt like a very good mood boost from that.
From just taking a regular dosage.
Yeah. You can take a pill form, but I take the Carlson's. It's like the lemon flavor and it's literally an oil and I put it on a spoon.
I know.
And I just take it like a goddamn shot.
You just take it like a champ. Obviously consult your doctor if you're changing any patterns of your eating /pills, obviously. Okay.
I'm trying to think if I take anything else.
Besides
all my like psycho medications, like anxiety.
What for taking? Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, that's it. I stopped taking melatonin.
Yeah.
Magnesium has been helping a lot.
I stopped taking, like, I took like a bunch of like supplements, like iron and like different things like that all the time when I didn't need them. And when Athletic Greens has all the like daily nutrients that I need as like a daily multivitamin. So why would I be adding on top of that and taking way more? I do use protein. Not all protein is the same. I literally wrote that down. I said all protein types do the same thing. That's not true. Like a collagen protein versus an SFH protein are like totally different types of proteins.
Yes. So collagen is a good, it helps with like hair and nails.
Yeah, hair
and nails.
You
also find it in like meat. Yeah. A lot of meat have it.
Yep.
But like a whey protein isolate is what you want to look for because that has all the amino acids for you.
Yes, there you go. Okay, let's see. In order to get stronger, you need to continue to add weight every time you work out. False. You don't need to always be adding more and more weight until you're weightlifting 100 and 200 and 300, 400, 500 pounds curling, right?
You're going
to
stop at some point.
Yeah, you got to stop at some point, right? So don't get into that myth and that habit that like my weight isn't heavy enough or I need to go extremely heavier today. Obviously, if you're building, right, you're going to add more weight. Your reps are going to go lower and the different types of workouts in that. We can't even go into that because we don't have enough time. But you are not going to go up to 150 like weighted curls, right? Mm-hmm. I hang out around like a 20 to 25, right? So just know that every day doesn't need to be heavier in order to get a good workout.
I will say if you're working on hypertrophy, you do want a progressive overload. So like, let's say you do 15 pound dumbbells, curls, you do 12 reps. The next week, yeah, you should try for 16 reps or you should try one more set or you should try to slow down the movement. So progressive overload doesn't always mean, like you said,
heavier weight.
It could mean duration or tempo. It could mean you go for one more set. You could go for, you know, maybe... what else can you do?
You can add more.
You can add
curls
more.
Or yep. Whatever you're talking about as an example.
And then once you hit a plateau, then what you want to do is, let's say you're doing 12 reps, you're going to grab 20-pound dumbbells and you're going to decrease your reps for a couple weeks. So then you're at maybe 8 to 10 reps and you have heavier dumbbells, but you're doing less reps. And then once you go back to the next phase and you'll be able to grab the 15s again, you maybe will do a little more reps because you practice with the 20s.
Exactly.
Crazy.
What she said.
Okay, listener questions,
I have one more.
Oh, yes.
Nope. One more. The last one is if only way to
many fucking fake shit out there. You know what I mean?
If you don't have soreness in your body after a workout, like really sore to the touch, you didn't have a hard workout. That is false, 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 false. I feel like you can attest to this too. I'm not getting sore every time I work out anymore. Like sometimes I do. Sometimes I can feel a little bit in my muscles. She's getting wacky over here. She's antsy pants. But being sore to the touch actually means that you like overdid your workout. Like that means you brought a lot of strain to your muscles and it was a little too much, right?
Yes.
So that's not one, you can't hold that consistently, and two, it means you overdid it and the lactic acid in your muscles are going wacko.
I remember when I would do HIIT all the time, I was never sore. I would literally sprint and like go so hard and I'd never be sore. And now when I literally don't do cardio, like I probably do it once a week, I get sore again. Yeah. Because all I focus on is like four moves. I add a little weight or I add an extra rep. And now I get sore after my workouts. Yeah. Now I will
soreness
say.
Is a little soreness is good, but being sore to the touch where it's like it hurts, that's not a good thing. Okay, now I'm ready.
All right, so we had some listeners writing questions. Hi. Most of this will probably have already been addressed in the above, and we'll skip those if it has. But someone asked, "How can I get consistent with working out? Do you have a tip for this one, Sidifer?"
I would just make it a habit. That's why I write out my week, right? So like I make a plan for when I'm going to work out during the week. And I don't overextend myself. If I don't think on Tuesday I can work out because I have way too much on my plate, I don't work out, right? I have an off day. That's okay. I do not have to feel guilty for having an off day. So change your mindset, set workout times, and make sure you're eating before your workouts. That's how I would start getting consistent.
Yeah, set realistic. So like, don't be like, okay, I'm going to work out 5 times a week. No, be like, okay, I'm going to do 2 times a week and schedule it into your calendar. Like if you have a meeting, cool, schedule it like workout 12 to 2. 12 to 1. Sorry, that would be a long workout.
Because if you put it on your calendar and you make it consistent, like
you said,
will.
You were going to say that? Okay. Cute. What's a day of eating for you?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
These are like make me cringe because I see them all over the internet and people have asked me numerous times to do it. And I like am very hesitant about it because I don't want people to eat what I eat because it has nothing to do with them or their metabolism or their calories.
We eat what we like to eat. Like we eat because it sounds good and it tastes good. And like it changes and ebbs and flows. And we stay within a fairly consistent like calorie pattern for our bodies. But it, like, for instance, you're counting different things. I don't count. I don't know if you count currently. Actually, I should ask.
I'll be honest. I was counting for a bit. So count. When she says counting, she means counting macros. Obviously.
Yeah.
The reason why I count macros occasionally is because I like to go through reverse diets where I can like up my calories so I can get to a higher range of calories so my metabolism is really high. So then once I get to a really high metabolism and I'm like at 2,500 or something, then I'm like sick. And then I'll go to a maintenance period and I can eat what I want, not worry about food. I'm like golden. So yes, sometimes I like to count to get my metabolism back up in like a consistent systematic way. And then if I really want to cut, cutting for me is hard unless I count because you just never know where the sneaky calories are coming from. So like I might go through a month. Like I think in June I did like a little bit of a cut. And for me, it ebbs and flows. Sometimes I'm like, I did a full month and I went through a little cut, sick. I'll be honest, like it's hard. I go through, like, I'd count maybe Monday through Friday, and then I'm like Saturday, Sunday, whatever.
Yeah.
It's hard for me.
I've never counted just because I know that I have like horrible OCD. So if I start counting, I'm going to lead down a path I don't want to go down. Obviously, sometimes I look at like how many macros I'm eating, or like, I mean, calories and different things like that in foods. And I'll be like, oh, whoa, that's kind of a lot for like just this piece of my lunch or something. I'm like, huh. I'm going to rethink that next time, or like, how could I make that a little differently, make it my own? But I don't actually count calories. But I don't even want to like list out. I eat a breakfast. I have my Athletic Greens. I usually eat a snack in between there. I eat a like a larger, medium, larger lunch, usually around like 1:30 or 1. And then I usually will have like a tiny snack, eat dinner, and then I always have dessert. That's like, I don't really feel like going into like extensive detail on what I'm eating.
I also just want to note, because I get where you're coming from with counting macros, and a lot of people are like that. Like if you do have like a history of disordered eating, a lot of times stay away from counting macros. I totally understand that. Therapists are like, don't do that. But I'm also going to say that I do have a good amount of clients, including myself, that it actually healed my relationship with food, because I was just under eating so much, and I looked at a donut or an Oreo like it was an enemy. Like I couldn't have a slice of pizza. I couldn't do this. And if I did, I'd ruin my whole day. But like counting macros just makes everything seem like a number to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, like this Oreo is a carb, and I have this amount of carbs for the day that I can eat. So then once I did that for a bit, then I went into my day like intuitive eating, being like, oh, this Oreo is just a carb. That's sick. And I can eat it without feeling like, that it's bad for me. So that's kind of how it healed my relationship with food, because now I still eat because it feels good. Like 80% I like whole foods, 20% I'm like, ooh, let's have an Oreo.
Mm-hmm. I just don't like thinking about food. I just don't want to think about it. I never want to have to worry about counting stuff. I never want to have to do any of that. So I just eat for what my body feels good and what I've learned makes me feel good. That's all.
Love. Okay. I'll go through like morning protein, coffee, maybe a smoothie. I like something sweet in the morning. I can't have eggs right away.
I can't either.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
I can have a protein sausage with something sweet, like a peanut butter and honey, like English muffin or something like that. Yeah.
So I like a little protein coffee, a little smoothie action because it's sweet. And then usually I'll do like a workout in the morning. That feels good. And then I'll have maybe my eggs and like my burrito, whatever. I kind of have two breakfasts every day. Then maybe I'll do like a chicken stir fry for lunch.
Oh, you're doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
And okay.
Then I always have chocolate. Chocolate after lunch, something sweet, and then I like to have another iced coffee with maybe some cream and stevia or some sugary something in there. Snacks, I love chompsticks, an apple, a protein bar, whatever is good. I love breakfast for dinner. Sometimes we got eggs for dinner, little
Protein waffles.
Oh, little turkey sandwich with some chips, and then more chocolate.
So good.
Yay, yum. All right, next question is, how do I plan construct a workout when I go to the gym alone? Example, leg day, arm day, both can be I was like writing my answer or saying my answer. So I feel like you can do this a lot of different ways. What do you like to do? Number one, establish a goal. Are you trying to be like a power lifter? Are you working on hypertrophy, which is just building muscle? Or do you want to improve cardiovascular health? And you can have more than one goal. I think Sid and I both agree on this. Like if we do a leg day, we like to do like a big compound movement to start.
Yep. Always.
Something that's kind of more multi-joint. So like a deadlift maybe, or maybe you want to do a heavy, barbell hip thrust, and then you can go into like little accessory work. So like, leg curls. And then I like to end leg days with a burnout.
I know, like a quad burnout or something. Yeah, I know.
Something good,
or like an elevated, an elevated split squat or something. Ooh. Or like a Bulgarian. Ooh, dog.
Baby.
End with those and superset, or like drop the weight at the end. Oh my Christ.
Your quad
is going to be on fire.
Yeah.
But just if you're thinking like really, really beginner, like back to the basics, pick a few movements. Like Sophie says, pick a compound movement. Just Google it. I promise you it's not super hard. Keep it simple. Don't like even like overlook like just doing a leg day, right? Like let's just start with a leg day, a general leg day. And then pick like four movements that you think are doable. You know how to do them with the correct form, and do them three times for a certain number of reps with a weight that you pick up and you feel like this is going to be a challenge, but I'm not going to hurt myself.
Yeah.
It's about like simplify and do it before you go to the gym. Cause by the time you get there and you're looking at the weights and you're standing there kind of awkwardly, you're going to feel intimidated. You're going to feel weird. And then unless you've got like an arsenal of workouts, like we kind of do in our head, you probably like it feels odd. Like I've been there, trust me. And I, even sometimes when I go to the gym and I don't write my workout, I'm like, frick.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here.
And I feel like a lot of people think you have to do like 12 movements, like on a leg day. I literally, here would be a good leg day.
I do like four.
Barbell hip thrust. Yep. You do four sets. Holy shit.
That burns like a
barbell,
bitch.
Barbell RDLs, leg curls, and a Bulgarian burnout. Boom. Boom. You're literally done. You have four movements. And if you really like that, do that consistently for 4 to 6 weeks and try to progressive overload week to week, and you will be set. And then maybe increase your reps, decrease your weight for 4 to 6 weeks, or do the opposite, decrease your reps, increase your weight.
Yep.
And then go back to your regular rep range and you'll be a little bit stronger.
Yep.
Cool.
Oh, wee.
Next question. Oh, go for it.
Oh, how do I stop binging at night?
I feel like we already talked about that.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay, how long do you recommend doing a reverse diet to help fix a restrictive eating disorder or slow metabolism? How to be healthy and not obsessed.
I feel like we did kind of talk about
this. We kind of did talk about that actually. So maybe we'll skip it.
So yeah, once you get your calories up higher, I feel like you naturally become less obsessed with food because you're actually satisfied. Your hunger cues are back on. And I've seen a lot of different time frames for reverse dieting. Some people say you should be reverse dieting for as long as you restricted for, which sometimes could be like 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Like slowly, incrementally get your calories back up. But I think if you're trying to get to like a maintenance phase where your maintenance should be, I think 4 months, 6 months is probably around like where most of my clients have been at.
Okay.
And then we can go into like a little bit of a cut if they want.
One thing I will say is like when you're talking about like different foods and stuff like that, all I'm going to add is think about when you get thirsty. That's your body telling you that you're dehydrated, right? And by the time you're thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated, right? Think about when your body's telling you, I'm hungry, like I need brain power. It's just as negative as the water, right? As being dehydrated. It is not good to get to the point of like extreme hunger / obsession with food. Like that means your body is telling you it needs something to help it continue to function.
That is not good. Because I know what binging feels like.
Yeah.
Because I've been there. I don't really allow myself to get very hungry. That's why I do eat more than 3 meals a day. Like I probably have 4 to 5 meals, little meals, snacks. Like I kind of eat a little bit throughout the day just because if you're going to restrict during the day, yes, you're going to binge at night. Like you're going to be hungry. Your body's telling you to eat.
Exactly.
And then also your hunger cues are off because you've been restricting. So you can literally continue to eat and eat. And that's your body. That's honestly what your body's wanting to do. And it's okay. And don't feel guilty about it. But what I would do is definitely just stay on top of your hunger and eat. Yeah. Throughout the day.
Okay, we have two more little funny ones. I kind of like the bottom two, but do you want to do all three? The top one you want to talk to? I don't, you talked a little bit about sugar, but.
Yeah, so people just wrote in all these questions. Funny. And then some of them, I was just like, these are too good
They're
to
just
not share.
Funny ones. I don't
Someone
know.
Someone said, why isn't added sugar illegal? And I'm like, so true. Like added it sugar isn't everything. So if you want like a quick, easy swap and you're listening, you're like, where are your health tips? Come on, girls. Ketchup, like I like Primal Kitchen ketchup. I love G Hughes brands. They have a ton of different sauces.
Oh yeah, they're good.
Primal Kitchen has ketchup. No. G Hughes barbecue sauce, teriyaki sauce. That's what I marinate my chicken in. G Hughes is hard to find. I can find it at Fresh Time. Mm-hmm. What other sauces?
Also, just Google how to make it yourself. I make a homemade yum yum sauce out of yogurt and a tiny bit of mayo and then some spices and some Worcestershire. And it is fire. And I can put literally like a cup if I wanted to on top. And it's not bad for you.
Making sauces with Greek yogurt is genius.
Oh my God.
It's protein. You've been adding Greek yogurt to that tuna.
Oh, to the tuna.
It sounds so weird.
Oh no, I know, but it's good.
You know, I know it's so good. Greek yogurt, tuna, and pickles.
Okay, wait. I love that. Salt that is pepper. Delicious.
I had that the other
or
day.
Garlic powder too.
And garlic powder, salt, and pepper. Oh,
so good.
If you hate tuna and pickles, you probably think that's the nastiest thing ever.
Pickles.
But it's literally what, 40 grams?
Oh my God, what? It's so
40
good.
40 grams of protein?
Oh yeah. Or well, just the tuna itself. And then usually the yogurt, depending on how much you put on top, is like an extra 8 to 10.
Yeah, you're like, let's go. And you get Ziggy's. Oh my God. Or Siggy's, I guess that's it.
Oh,
I love Siggy's and Noosa if you're
yummy.
Looking for brands. What? Did anyone hear? I had Brussels sprouts, so I can't stop burping. Okay, every time I run, I immediately have to poop help. Same here, by the way.
The thing is, she wasn't being funny when she wrote this in because it was like a two-part question. She was
I read this
one. She was
one.
Like, every time I run, I immediately have to poop. Like, I don't know what to do about this.
Go
poop. Do
you
have any tips?
Go to the bathroom.
Leave time in the morning. Like I said, like if you're going to your workout in the morning, wake up earlier than you should.
When you drink a glass of water, you're activating your digestive system and everything just starts to move. That's basically what's happening.
Also,
so you must be hydrating as you're getting to the gym and you're like that's where your body's flushing everything out. So go to the bathroom.
Did you know you can train yourself? You can train yourself to poop at a certain time too.
Yeah, I did know that.
So like,
I've done it before. I switched mine.
Yeah.
Now I poop in the morning.
Also, probably because your metabolism's really good now. Your hormones are
oh,
good.
Oh yeah.
Because like when you kind of restrict, and like you've been there too. We've both been there. You poop so inconsistently. But once you get your calories up again, your metabolism's healthy.
Oh, you feel so good.
You feel so much better.
I don't get headaches anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Like, think about all the things that are different about, like, how I outlook in my life. Okay, last one. Does alcohol / drinking cancel out your workouts? Oh, you guys. No, it doesn't cancel out your workout. All that it is alcohol really dehydrates the muscles, right? So, what
were you going to say? And remember, we're not working out to cancel anything out. Yeah, we're working out to build muscle. Your nutrition is how you cancel the
and
your
you're working out to feel good. You're working out to have motion. We're lucky that we get to move our bodies in the way that we do, right? So no, it doesn't cancel out your workout. Yes, it does make you dehydrated. That's alcohol in a nutshell. Yes, alcohol in general terms has higher calories because you're drinking it more, usually like multiple drinks. You're getting it from a drink form. Just first of all, pace yourself in drinking in general, right? But like, just enjoy. Like, I enjoy cocktails all the times. Yeah, I have wine like every other night. Like, it doesn't cancel my workout out. In fact, I love it. And red wine is really good for you. So, oops, I probably shouldn't like preach that on a podcast, but it's good
drink
for you in moderation.
Wine. Drink your wine.
Yeah, I mean, moral of the story: everything in moderation.
Everything in moderation. All right.
Macros. By the way, we didn't really talk about it. Protein, carbs, and fat.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is alcohol is its own macro.
Yeah.
So carbs are 4 grams, protein 4 grams per calories per gram. There it is. And then fat is 9 calories per gram. And then alcohol is 7 calories per gram. And that's like the only other category, which is so strange.
That is strange. I didn't know that that was a part of it.
It just is like a little bit of empty calories, which is fine. If you were to still drink in excess, you probably will add a little fat, but
Empty calories.
And then your inhibitions get lower. Then you're like pizza. And then you're like, oh, I'm really in a surplus now, baby.
Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. Ben's like me. Should I go into our listener straight kind of moment?
You go ahead. That was really good. I feel like we hit a lot, you guys. I hope that your ears are like, you're like so much knowledge. Oh
yeah. Listen to this a few times. Maybe. Okay. You guys are going to die with this straight kind of listener.
Okay. You haven't let me read this one. So I'm all excited.
Okay. I've only read through this once. I remember it being a little long and there was a few like errors, but I'm just going to see if I can do it. Okay. So
okay.
This is Candace.
Okay.
So she says, I was out of town for a couple days and my dad stayed at my place to watch my dog. I got back late and we chatted for a little and he mentioned he put my mail on my record player. Cute. I thought nothing of it and went to bed since he was leaving early in the morning. The next day, I finally looked at my mail and in the middle of the stack was a bright pink padded envelope that said DIY Vajazzling Kit. Bush to lush in 3 easy steps. I opened it and it was a gag gift from my friends with a card from them on the inside as a joke. Naturally, I started freaking out that my dad probably saw this and now my window was gone to explain, because if I had seen it where he was still there, I would have immediately opened it and been like, what the F? And then he laughed and showed him. Okay, we're going to continue. I don't know what that sentence was. But anyways,
I was like, that, I'm trying to follow it with your monotone reading.
I'm literally reading word for word.
Okay.
So
I think what she was trying to say
lost her
was,
window
it, yeah, she time. Lost her window of time where if her dad was there, she could have just opened it and been like, WTF, it would have been fine.
Dad,
he
did
understood.
You see this? Okay. Like, whatever.
So then she goes, and I didn't want to now awkwardly call him, ask him if he saw my mail. Then I would have to explain why he hadn't. Instead, I had to hope and convince myself that maybe he didn't see it, since it was in the middle of the pile. Fast forward 6 weeks later, and my mom is in town. One night, she nervously asked me if I've been secretly dating someone. I tell her no and ask what prompts her to think so. She then tells me that my dad found a piece of mail that concerned them. Not only did my dad see it, but he told my mom about it. They looked it up together because they didn't know what the Vajazzling Kit was. And then they actually believed their daughter did this and had been worried about me for the past 6 weeks. To top it off, my mom said, I don't care what kinky stuff you're into, honey, but I looked it up and I was worried about your sensitive skin. I quickly explained and called my friends, dying of laughter, that their joke had reached epic heights by involving my parents by complete accident. Although I still question what vibe I'm putting off that would make my parents see that package and then actually believe their daughter was vajazzling her vajayjay.
What the hell is vajazzling?
And here's a picture.
Okay, so it's a kit.
You put gems, like it's literally in a triangle, and you can put gems on your
hoo-ha.
On your vagina, vajazzling, DIY. Look at it, Ben, you wanna see?
Oh my God, if my parents saw that, they'd be like, what? What is going on? Bush to lush. That is hilarious.
I apologize in advance. I probably should have shortened that.
And no.
Reread
it's okay.
It and made it cute.
But it literally, just the packaging literally is bright. DIY, vajazzling kit with like colorful like little sparkles. Bush to lush.
My
like
parents
it's all
would
over the packaging.
My parents would immediately think I had an OnlyFans or something.
Well, yeah, my parents would be like, why? My dad would be like, what are you doing? Right? Like, what are you doing? I can just see him being like, huh? Like, what? Oh my God,
so
weird.
What? Weird. I have one more thing to share instead of a Straight Canada listener advice question. I have a review.
Okay.
And it was really cute. And okay. I was like, we should end it with this versus start Let's because people over. Will. Okay. This one says, it's from Lynn Hubbard, 45. We appreciate you. For the past couple of years, I've been looking for a good podcast to listen to that speaks out on issues surrounding women in the world. Last August, I stumbled upon Straight Candid and fell in love. This podcast is perfect if you're looking for something to listen to that speaks about all topics that aren't talked about and need to be talked about. They make you feel like you are best friends with them and are so fun to listen to. I've listened to them grow so much and can't wait to see where they go. I'm constantly sharing their podcast with others when I talk about them with other people. I reference them as my podcast since they truly are the only podcast I religiously listen to and love. Thanks, Sid and So, for being so amazing and so vulnerable. I feel like I have grown, am growing right with you guys.
Oh my God.
Isn't that a cute one?
You guys are sweet to That makes me so happy. I had literally like so cute. I had a few people reach out from the podcast saying like, sorry for your loss of your grandma. And like, aww, thank you for being vulnerable. I lost my like aunt or my uncle or my cousin like recently too. And I like hearing that, like you being vulnerable, aww, really made me feel like cared for and understood. And I was like, you guys make me teary-eyed.
I know, I'm teary-eyed
I'm like,
right now.
Oh my God. I'm like, you guys make my heart so big. I don't think we say it enough, but how thankful we are for this platform and the people who are along for the ride, which is you. So, oh my God, I'm going to cry.
I literally am getting teary-eyed. I don't know why.
There was somebody that I wanted to shout out because they were a big fan and someone told me to shout them out. Hold on.
You can do it next episode too if you can't find it. No. I'll just distract.
Okay. Alyssa
is
B.
It's me and you now. I've been waiting. I think I want to make a move.
I want nothing to do with that. Alyssa B, I love ya. That's all I know. And I don't remember your last name. Alyssa B. Just shouting you out.
Alyssa B, we love you. Alyssa B.
Alyssa B, we love you. Okay, you guys, thank you for being here as always.
That was fucking long.
That was long as hell. At Straight Candid Podcast, lots all over. Remember to send in your Straight Candid moments, you little silly little goofers, and your Straight Candid advice. This entire episode was advice. That's why we did not do one. So there you have it.
Yes, exactly. At Candid Soph.
At Candid Sid.
At Ben Sarbacher.
We loves ya.
Appreciate ya.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay,
we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Wow. How long was that?
That one was like an hour and probably 15 minutes.
Oh yeah. My Lord.
I'm
still holding my mic.
I'll shut up more on Sunday, by the way. I just have so much to say.
No, that was so good. I was learning about this.
I was letting you have your space to fucking
appreciate you.
Space queen.